Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning and hope you tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also want to invite you to look at our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files and also a host of other Bible-related material that can be a benefit to you as you search the words of life. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You always will be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come and be with us and to know the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We hope that you'll take an opportunity and come and visit us. We have been looking at the subject of the bread of life. And last week we looked at the woman at the well and looked at Jesus' work in Samaria. Today we want to begin with talking about John the Baptist and really the end of his role as a forerunner for Christ. I want to begin this morning by reading in John chapter 3, a passage that I made reference to last week, in John understanding that he was not the focus, that he was the forerunner to prepare the way for the Lord. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, we read, "He must increase and I must decrease." He understood that he was pointing men to Jesus Christ. It was him who would point men to Jesus in order that they would be able to know the things that God would have them to know. He never needed to be in the spotlight. He knew and understood that his role was to prepare the way for the Lord. And so we begin today by reading in Luke chapter 3 and verse number 19. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 19. "But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evil which Herod had done, and added to this above all that he had shut John into prison." Now, I've chosen this place at the arrest of John the Baptist here because we know that John was present in Judea at the same time Jesus was teaching and making disciples and baptizing them. Also, the next time we read of John is he is sending messengers to Jesus from prison in Luke chapter 7. Matthew and Mark both indicate that John being cast into prison was one of the Lord's reasons for departing to Galilee. Herod Antipas was a son of Herod the Great, and the Malthus, a Samaritan woman, half Edomite, half Samaritan. He was therefore not a drop of Jewish blood in his veins, and the Galilee of the Gentiles seemed to fit dominion for such a prince. He ruled as a Tetrarch of Galilee and Persia and Perea from 4 BC to 39 AD. The gospel picture we have of him is far from prepossessing. He is superstitious, fox-like in his cunning, and wholly immoral. John the Baptist was brought into his life through an open rebuke of his gross immorality and defiance of the law of Moses. Herodias was the daughter of Aretimus, the son of Herod the Great by Marlamin, daughter of Hyrcanus. Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great by Malthus. Herod Antipas was one of the stepbrothers of Ariobulus, father of Herodias. John boldly rebuked Herod because he had taken his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, to be his own wife. Because of the rebuke, Herod was cast into prison. Added to his list of sins was the unlawful and unwarranted imprisonment of John. But it would not end there. We next want to take you to Mark chapter 6 and read the account of what happened after he was cast into prison. Now, we begin in Mark 6 and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. "Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known, and he said, 'John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him.' Others said he is Elijah, and others say he is a prophet or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, "This is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." Now again, this is a conversation about who Jesus is. And Herod believes that Jesus, because of what he's able to do, is that he is John the Baptist that's been raised from the dead. But what does he mean, raised from the dead? Well, let's continue reading in verse 17. "For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then in an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles and the high officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, 'Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you.' He also swore to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to the half of my kingdom.' So she went on and said to her mother, 'What should I ask?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.' Immediately she came in and hastened to the king and asked, saying, 'I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter.' Now the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner, commanded his head to be brought. And he went and he beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both of what had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and he did not even have time to eat. And he departed to a deserted place in a boat by himself." Now, in this account, in Mark chapter 6, we see that John is put to death by Herod because of an oath that he made. And this oath was caused by an enticing dance that Herodias' daughter did for him on his birthday. And because his heart was filled with lust, he determined that he would give her anything she requested, even up to half of his kingdom. And there were others sitting with him in the place where the nobles were gathered together in commemoration of his birthday. And so the young girl went to her mother and asked her, "What should I ask for?" And she wanted John the Baptist dead. And so she asked that John the Baptist's head be given to her on a platter. And indeed, that's what she asked for. And because of the nobles and because of his oath, he knew that he had to follow through with what he had promised her. And so he sent for an executioner. He had John beheaded, and he brought the head on a platter to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. And the disciples of Jesus came, the disciples of John came and found out what had happened and took the body of John and went and buried it. Now, there's a couple things I want to talk about in the closing minutes of our class here that are important about this particular event. Now, again, John understood that he must decrease, but John was bold in his proclamation of truth, and he did not fail to tell Herodias that he was living in sexual immorality because he had not only another man's wife, he had his brother's wife. But I want you to notice that he said that he had married her. Now, there are those in the religious world that try to tell us that you cannot live in adultery, but that is false. And there are others that tell us that there are no such things as an unlawful marriage, but that too is false, and this account proves it, because the account says that he had married her, but John told her it is not proper, it is not lawful for you to have her. And so again, this was an unlawful marriage. And it was unlawful because she belonged to another man. Yet in the eyes of the world, they could have been divorced. But in the eyes of God, she was still bound to Philip. And he had taken Philip's wife to become his wife. That made it an unlawful marriage. That made it sexual immorality. And John pointed that out. And because of his gross immorality, he told him it's not proper for you to have her. And so what we see is the marriage is condemned, sexual immorality is exposed, and John tells the truth. And because of it, Herodias, who takes it personal that John had told Herod that it was not lawful for her to have his brother's wife, she determines she wants revenge, and she's going to have his head on a platter. And when the opportunity presented itself because of the dancing of her daughter, she was able to accomplish her mean. Now, what's important about this is something I want to talk about very briefly. John the Baptist has died, and Jesus mourns, and he goes away to a deserted place to pray and to mourn the loss of John the Baptist. But he also understands that now his public ministry is going to take off. And now he's going to fulfill the work that his father had sent him to do. But another thing I want to mention as we look at this story this morning is to understand that God has a law on marriage. And God has a law about sexual immorality. And no matter how liberal the world is, and it is very liberal today, in its marriage laws, God is not as liberal as men are. And God's law takes precedence over man's law. Today, men can get divorced for a variety of reasons. Yet Matthew 19:9 clearly states that the only cause for divorce that God recognizes is sexual immorality or adultery. That's committing sexual intercourse with one that is not your spouse. That is grounds that God will allow a marriage to be severed. He also says that it is unlawful to be in a relationship where you are with a person who does not have the right to marry. Only two people have the right to marry. Three. One who's never been married, one whose spouse has died, and one whose mate has committed adultery against them. Anyone else makes it an unlawful relationship, makes it sinful, and one who lives in adultery, lives in fornication, and is in an unlawful marriage is in sexual immorality. And according to passage of like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it may be acceptable and it may be permissible in our society to have as many wives and husbands as you want and to live with people and to commit sexual immorality and fornication and live in adultery. It may be acceptable by the standards of the world, but rest assured, brethren, it is not acceptable to God. And he calls it sin, and that sin can cost your soul and the soul of both parties that are involved in that relationship. John lost his life for telling the truth. He told Herod exactly what God's law said concerning the relationship that he had with Herodias. He was truthful. It cost him his life, but he told the truth. Sexual immorality is not tolerated by God then or today.